Support for Technology and Innovation Reporting comes from SDN Communications, your business broadband provider. Learn more at sdncommunications.com.
Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Girls looking at careers in STEM fields, including science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, have an opportunity to listen to the experts in the field and perhaps find mentors along the way during the Women in Science Conference tomorrow at Northern State University in Aberdeen. Joining us now from the Tom and Danielle Ammon Foundation Studio at NSU is the organizer of the event, Lisa Johnson. Welcome, Lisa.
Hi, Lisa's actually not here today. My name is Amy Park, and I'm also one of the organizers.
Nice to meet you, Amy Park. And also with us, Courtney Wade Lindberg, Associate Professor of Sociology and Criminal Justice at Northern State University. Dr. Wade Lindberg, are you there?
Yes, I am here. Thank you for having me.
All right, Amy, let's start with you and tell us a little bit about the overall, you know, the big picture of the conference, what you're intending to do and how you're reaching out to get the right girls and young women in the room.
Sure. Basically, we started this conference about it. This is our 18th conference that we're holding tomorrow. So we've been doing this for quite a while, and we started it just as a way to get local middle school and high school girls to be able to come and actually listen to real women scientists who most of are from around this area. So just giving them the opportunity to come in and listen to some of these women speak, talk about how they got to where they are, their interest in their field, how they got there, all of their education, that kind of thing. We just wanted to be able to give girls in the area the chance to see that just because you're from South Dakota doesn't mean you can't go into some of these more scientific type fields. And this gives them the opportunity to come and listen to actual women who work in these fields.
So it's part celebration of science and tech in general. So if you're the student who's really into this, this is going to feel like, you know, Christmas morning and stuff. But it's also kind of addressing this underlying problem, this gender gap. And which one of you would like to sort of address what's going on and why are we not seeing girls in those STEM careers?
Sure, I can take that again, too. That's been noted in many studies over the last several years that girls have a big interest in science up until about the time they get to middle school. And then for some reason that drops off, whether it's, you know, that the boys take over the classes or whatever it is. But they seem to lose that when they hit that middle school, maybe early high school age. So that was part of the reason we started this was our hope was to keep these girls interested in science and to see that it is a possibility for them.
Mm. Dr. Wade Lindberg, tell us a little bit about, your role in this conference. And I want to talk a little bit about what you know about this gender gap in science and tech.
I was asked to participate back in the fall, shortly after the beginning of our academic year, beginning here at Northern. And I was thrilled because as a criminologist and as a social scientist, I feel like it's important to kind of bring in those avenues into this perspective of getting females involved in science and getting girls interested. Sometimes when we think of STEM disciplines, we don't necessarily think of the social and behavioral sciences. And so I think it's good to kind of broaden that perspective and really be able to tap into some of those interests that young girls have that they may not recognize as a science discipline. And in all fairness, and I even tell my own students here at Northern this, we like to compartmentalize and we like to think in a framework approach. So putting things into categories is natural for us. But this kind of gets outside of those categories and allows us to kind of expand and kind of see related fields that may not necessarily sometimes fall into what people immediately think of in terms of the sciences. In terms of gender gap, I think what Amy said is pretty salient and it's pretty spot on. One of the things that, you know, we need to keep in mind, especially from my own perspective as a social scientist, when I was getting my PhD in criminology in the early 2000s, roughly 8 out of 10 students in PhD programs in my field throughout the country were women. So we're seeing more women, you know, going beyond, you know, the college level into postgraduate work interested in science-related fields. And I'm not aware what the data is for the natural sciences or other STEM disciplines, but at least in the social and behavioral sciences, that trend is pretty striking.
Are there things that, because 60 Minutes had a feature on last night that was talking about how abysmal the numbers are in computer science. And I'm wondering, as a social scientist and criminologist, then have there been specific efforts that have worked? Because in computer science, they were saying millions of dollars have been poured in to recruiting girls and young women, and it has been of limited effect, and they were really looking at new efforts to address that. And I'm wondering if you see in your field, this is why it worked, this is how we were having the conversation, this is how we were reaching out and mentoring. Do you see why it's a success, why that story is changing in your field?
Well, I think that's a good question, and I think it taps into what Amy was saying about how when girls get to middle school, they may have that interest in math and science, but somehow those priorities for them shift. It could be something within their family. It could be attitudes. I know for myself, I was very mathematically inclined, and for me, it was probably, when I was prior to college, and prior to taking statistics courses that meant something to me with the work I was doing, I didn't necessarily have the best attitude. And I don't know if the social sciences does a pretty good job of incorporating everything that could appeal to just about anybody. I mean, you have to be a writer, you have to think analytically. So it's able to tap into creativity. It's able to tap into a particular subject matter that's of interest to someone. And there's so many things with females that are crime related right now, like victimization, that perhaps are interesting females to go into this field. So we haven't had anything that's been a concerted effort. I mean, there's fellowships for females, but, nothing that would lead to such a marked shift in how you've got roughly, three-fourths of females in programs, right. for PhDs. So
I think that taps into something true that I've seen as a parent. I have a 17-year-old who is remarkably good at math and science, but I don't know that anyone has ever articulated to her what a career might be or what life might like be, and I don't know that that's a gender problem or not, but certainly, she can see what the careers in the arts are. She can see what the careers in academics might be. But if you're really good at calculus, somebody maybe has to articulate to you what you could actually do with that in a way that's specific and appealing. Maybe, mm-hmm. Maybe not. I'm not
right.
Sure. Yeah, there's a lot happening there.
Well, and you make a really good point. I mean, I actually can kind of reflect on my own interest as a child, place and space being important to me. And my favorite children's book dealt with basically a community that's changing. This book was written in the early 1940s. My mother had absolutely no idea why I loved this book so much. Well, here I go into this field now, and it makes much more sense to me why I enjoyed it so much. I loved geometry. It's kind of this rare thing that people like geometry. People who like algebra and calculus aren't necessarily inclined to enjoy geometry, but with the whole place and space of understanding crime and victimization, now I can reflect on why it is that I liked that. And I don't know if we need to work with girls who have that interest. Is there something about how communities are structured that interests you? Do you find yourself good at geometry? Are you concerned about things that are harmful to others? Maybe you need to think about this particular field. And I think it's puzzle pieces, making people realize what puzzle pieces go together.
Yeah.
In many ways, too.
Which is, kind of the thing that you might get to in college or even grad school. And Amy Parkin, I want to bring you back into the conversation because we're talking about pushing this back to younger and in younger kids so that they stay studying, the science and technology and engineering and math classes and topics. You're a lead forecaster at the National Weather Service in Aberdeen. How did you end up where you are today? Did you have an early interest in something that you look back on and say, yeah, I could see where I ended up being here?
No, absolutely. Mine's actually kind of simple. When I was in the fourth grade, we had a tornado about 10 miles from where I was living at the time. And we all stood at the end of the driveway and watched it. And I thought it was the coolest thing I'd ever seen. And from that point on, I'm like, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going into weather. Now, you know, it was a lot harder than I probably thought of back as that little third grader. Mm-hmm. But it was, you know, it was a lot of work, lots of math, lots of science to get to it. But I was determined enough that was where my interest lied, and I stuck with it. And that's how I ended up where I am.
So, Amy, did people try to tell you, oh, if you're interested in weather and you're a girl, you must be, you know, broadcaster? You know, we want to put you on TV doing the weather there? Or were people like, tell me about mentorship a little bit and how that went right and how that some of the advice that went wrong?
Absolutely. I can specifically remember my first year of college, taking my very first physics class, and it was at a junior college, so a little bit smaller. And he had the teacher had all of us go around and say what we were planning on majoring in. And so when he got to me, I said, I'm planning on majoring in meteorology. And in front of the entire class, he said, oh, that's just physics. You won't make that.
Oh.
And moved on to the next student. And I was like, you know, you get that. So in a way, that teacher probably pushed me even harder. Because it was, I'm going to show you, you know, that kind of thing.
Which gets back to this bigger conversation about some of the barriers. And I'm sorry to jump in there and interrupt you, but let's keep talking about that, because it's not just trying to get girls to understand the possibilities and to make those connections. It's getting in the room and telling them, and oh, by the way, someone's going to tell you, you can't do this. Amy, is that part of the Women in Science, conference conversation? Can you be that frank with people to say, you know, you're going to come up with some obstacles, and some of those obstacles are really just going to be based on your gender?
Oh, absolutely. And that's what we kind of encourage our speakers to come in when they talk about how they got there, what they did to get there, all that kind of stuff. We encourage them to put that into their talk if they had any negative influences, any positive influences, what got them to where they finally are. So, yeah, we highly encourage them to not be afraid to let the girls know if there were things that maybe at one time started to dissuade them a little bit from going into the field, but what made them stick it out.
And Courtney, I want to talk about why it matters. And it seems like criminology is a great place to start, because if you have women in this field and men in this field, if you have diverse people, you know, coming to the study and coming to the application of, you know, and policy making and all those things, what's the potential impact of having more than one point of view in a field like criminology?
Well, that's an incredibly salient question, because we've tried very hard in our field to really stress that it's not just, you know, gender diversification and representation in communities, but also what we're looking at with race and ethnicity, even age. And so these things are incredibly important. So for many reasons, I feel like our field and the things that, you know, we tackle and handle, and it's necessary that we have that. And so the opportunities are there for females. And kind of similar to what Amy was talking about, I feel like in various avenues in our field, you're going to see that females will be facing greater barriers, and maybe some things that are negative influences more so than positive influences. And then in some avenues, you're going to see much more positive influences. A good example right now is with victim services and victim specialization, victim advocacy. We have this need for more males, actually, to have an interest in working with victims. And then the flip side, you know, we look at law, you know, law practice, we look at even law enforcement. There's still a lot of barriers for females out there.
How are we doing in South Dakota, and are just remaining like 2 minutes left? How are we doing with education and having the programs, whether it's, you know, undergraduate or PhD programs or technical programs needed to really help girls and young women get to where they need to be? Amy, you want to address that, please?
Well, I think things like what we're doing here on campus tomorrow are certainly helping. We've had a few people come back, you know, and tell us they've been to our conference and gone on to do stuff. We actually have a couple of committee members this year who are former attendees of the conference and did go on to do science type fields. So I think as far as that goes, you know, as far as what universities and stuff are doing, I can't really comment on that. But I think programs like what we've been doing here for the last 18 years are certainly making an impact.
Mm-hmm. Amy Parkin is lead forecaster at National Weather Service in Aberdeen, and Courtney Way Lindberg is associate professor of sociology and criminal justice at Northern State University. We've been talking about the Women in Science Conference, which begins March 5th in Aberdeen. It's the 18th year, Amy, is that right?
That is correct, yep.
All right. Can people still sign up? Are there ways to, you know, teachers, can they still connect with curriculum? Just leave us with that, if you would, please.
Probably not at this point, since the conference is tomorrow. Our registration process is done through the schools. The schools decide that they're going to come, and then they'll sign up the number of students they want to bring. So, unfortunately, at this point, we're pretty filled up, but we're ready to go tomorrow.
Pay attention for next year, and it's a great program. We've got lots of people signed up already. Thank you so much. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.